Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. This is conduct at the Lord's Supper. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Verse 18. And in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Now, he's not saying that it's God's purpose or God's will that there be factions, but he just knows that this is the condition of the human heart and that we're prone to break off into cliques, into factions, you know, into our little clubs. And so he's addressing something that was going on here. And they would get together for this agape or love feast prior to taking the Lord's, you know, partaking of the Lord's Supper. And this was basically just a fellowship meal where they would share together. And there would be people from all different backgrounds, walks of life that would be involved in this. And there were the rich and the poor and everybody in between. And from different, disciplines in life. But they came together as a church. And Paul here is giving some instruction because he was aware that there was divisions among them and that they were not together in unity. This morning I mentioned unity as not being something that we just work at doing. It's not a matter of me looking at my brother or my sister and saying, let's just get together and be unified. I wish it was that simple, but it's actually simpler than that. But you know what I'm talking about. Let's just join hands and skip and sing "We Are the World, We Are the People," and be united, right? In unity. Now, would you agree that singing unifies us to some degree? When we're singing the same song, there's something that happens there. Songs are to bring us together, at least, and to some type of focus. If we're just singing about the weather, then we'll be unified about the weather, right? But if we're singing about Jesus, we'll be unified in Christ. True unity is unity in the Spirit and not a work of the flesh, not something we work up. The world has been trying to work that up through political means for centuries, and we have never achieved unity. There's never been peace on earth because it's not possible, humanly speaking, for us to truly be unified. There's doctrinal correctness that helps keep people at least somewhat in the same, you know, theological box of agreement. And I believe that we should think and speak the same thing. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having distinctions as long as we're not straying away from the fundamentals, the foundations of the faith and the truth about who Christ is, you know, his virgin birth, sinless life, death on the cross. Amen. And resurrection. But unity, again, is not something that can be achieved by human effort. It has to be birthed in the Spirit. And I use this a lot, but we need to constantly remember this, that in order for a body to be whole, to be together, to be, you know, in unity where there's a harmony of hearts and a place where God's going to say, there's where I'm going to bless right there. That's the place I wanted my people to be before I will release what I really have for them. Because God waits for us to get into position for him to bless us. So we have to be worshipers of God. The Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So worship, true worship, spiritual worship, unites us with Christ. When individuals that make up a body are worshipers and are united or indwelt by Christ. In other words, he is abiding in us and we are abiding in him as individuals that come together with the same purpose, the same goal, is to seek the same standard, which is Christ. To seek him. Not seek things of God, not seek programs, but to seek Christ himself. When we as individuals are seeking him, when we are worshipers of him, when we are drawing near to him, then we're all tuned to the same standard. Amen? And that's when we have true unity. And the problem is that we are prone to disconnect from Christ and sometimes even get to the place where we, through our own efforts, try to achieve some form of unity in a body. If a church is not praying, if a church is not worshiping, if a church is not drawing near to God, if they're not seekers of God, then there's not going to be true unity. There's going to be pseudo unity for a season until something gets a little bit off or somebody gets their toe stepped on. But how many know that the love of God does something to your heart that even if somebody will step on your toe, it's like you can still love them back? Well, Jesus told us to love our enemies. How is that possible? By the love of God. Amen. By abiding in Christ only. It's humanly impossible. And so God wants worshipers, people who will connect, amen, and have fellowship with him in the Spirit. And when we do that individually and then come together corporately, automatically there's unity, there's agreement, because we seem to be thinking the same thing then. We speak the same thing then. We seem to have agreement. Isn't that amazing when we're in unity where people will begin to, you know, say something and somebody else is saying, you know, I was hearing the same thing. That's what God was saying to me. Why? Because you're tuned into the same Lord. And so what was happening here at the Agape Feast, they were showing partiality towards those, you know, who had less. The rich, you know, were eating and feasting and they were filling themselves up and even to the degree where they were getting drunk even. And they were despising the poor who were among them and treating them as if they were their servants or less than them. And they were not discerning the body of Christ, that they are members of the same family, regardless of social status, financial status. Amen. What club you belong to, what name you got over your church. Because, you know, there's a lot of division, isn't there? There's even racial division in the body of Christ. Just go to the South. You'll really see it there. That's not God's plan, folks. There's a disconnect somewhere when we're racially divided too within the body of Christ. Why? Because Jesus purchased us all and brought us all together into one body. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism into the same Lord. Amen. Into Christ. One body. And so he wanted to commend the church here, but he couldn't because of this stuff that was going on. And then he says in verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. Sounds like selfish ambition, doesn't it? And one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? And so also, I want you to think about this. Verse 22 is a good verse for those who say, well, we don't believe in organized church. Or meeting in buildings. We just have our little thing in our living room. What is he saying here? What? Don't you have houses to eat and drink in? They had to be meeting somewhere publicly. Would you agree? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And then he begins to talk about, you know, the fact that Jesus, you know, had sat at meat with his disciples and they had just completed the Passover, you know. And then he was going to share, even at the very same time when they were partaking of the first communion. They were plotting Jesus' destruction. That was the very time, the very night that Jesus was going to be betrayed. They got together and they shared the Seder meal. And they didn't quite understand what Jesus was saying at the time, but he was just telling them, you know, I'm going to go away. I'm going away. And what they were actually sharing in was a ceremony, really also that spoke about the fact that Jesus is our bridegroom and that we are the bride of Christ. And he was lifting up the marital cup. How many know that marriage is a covenant? This is the New Testament, right? In my blood. We were going to be married to Jesus. And in taking of this with Jesus, what they were really saying is, you know what? By my partaking of this cup, I'm actually saying that I'm married to you. I'm a spouse to you now. Everything that I have is now yours. Everything you have is now mine. We have come into covenant. And remember, it was the groom's job to go back to his father's house and to prepare a home. And then he would return at the appointed time and he would receive his bride and he would bring his bride with him back to the home that he had prepared. John 14. I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go away, I'm going to come back. I'm coming to get my bride. I'm coming to get my people. In the meantime, every time you drink of this cup, amen, you eat this bread, you drink this cup, you're remembering my death. And you're remembering the covenant. You're remembering the agreement that we've made here, that we are married to one another, and you shall have no other gods before me. You are not to give yourself to any other gods. You are not to prostitute yourself with the world. You are to be a holy people, a holy bride, separate unto God. Amen? And when we give ourselves away, we're cheating, we're committing spiritual adultery. And we're not discerning the body of Christ when we hold, you know, divisions and factions, and when we hold bitterness and, you know, unforgiveness in our hearts towards others. Or when we show partiality towards other brothers and sisters. We're not discerning that they are the body of Christ. And that the same blood that was shed for us, amen, was shed for others within the body. And in God's sight, we're family. We're all equal. Isn't that awesome? Now, the world says it's based upon, you know, your status. Your status, you know, in the eyes of the world. Some people just feel, well, if I'm with this group or with this club, or if I join the yacht club or whatever, that makes me a little more important than the guy that doesn't. And, you know, you even find it in the areas where people are impoverished as well. I remember having some friends growing up that were very poverty stricken. They lived in a dilapidated trailer. And you know, they were my best friends. It was two brothers. They were really my good friends. I really liked these guys. But even in that context, There was a comparison made about others. You know, if I do a little better, if I have a little more, then I'm a little better than you. Even among the poor, these things go on. Why? Because it's a human condition. It's a human heart condition. The only solution is that God would heal, God would restore. God would bring awareness as to the fact that, you know what? We don't have anything that God didn't give us. The abilities that we have, the intelligence that we have, is a gift from God. It's not something we gave ourselves. He gave it to us. And to whom much is given, the same much is required. And so we become evil judges when we begin to compare ourselves. and set ourselves apart from other believers. And in some cases, the hypocrisy of self-righteousness where we say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And so unity is something that is birthed out of worship, out of relationship with Jesus, amen, in the Spirit. It's not something that we can conjure up or work. You can do well for a while. You can have unity. I was in the Army and we had to be unified in our mission. If you're going to accomplish anything, you had to have some unity. But even in the midst of all that, there was all kinds of junk going on and people fighting among themselves and belly aching and complaining going on because it's just a human institution. But in the body of Christ, we have been brought together as one body in Messiah, in Jesus Christ. And as we abide in Him, then we have true unity. When we walk in unity, amen, the Father commands, releases the blessing, His favor upon His people. Why? Because that's the only time He can bless us, because He will not bless hypocrisy. He can't, because He's righteous. So tonight when we take of the Lord's Supper, we need to understand what it means. You see, there were those who were partaking of this supper, and it wasn't so much the act or the substance, if you will, of the bread and the wine. It wasn't about that. It's about the principle that they were violating God's law, God's will for His people, by showing partiality among themselves. They were dishonoring Christ in their meetings. And whenever anyone holds bitterness or unforgiveness against a brother or sister, or holds a grudge against a brother and sister, how many of you know that that's like a cancer to your soul? And often what happens is that bitterness in your heart even begins to affect you physically. And you become sick. That doesn't mean every time you're sick, it's because you got bitterness. So hold off. But how many know sickness can be a result of unresolved issues of the heart? And because of this, He said, many among you are sick and weak, you know, and even some of you have prematurely died. You've fallen asleep, He said. Because you did not discern the body of Christ, and you would not forgive your brother and your sister. You see, if we judge ourselves, He said, then you will not be judged. We must prejudge ourselves. Amen. Quit worrying about your brother and your sister and trying to pick the thing out of their eye. Take a look at your own eye. Amen. If we all judge ourselves, then we'd be in unity again, wouldn't we? We take care of this temple. Take care of what goes in this mind. Amen. What we're meditating on, what we're thinking on, keeping our thoughts on Him. Shut ourselves in with Jesus, abide with Him. And then when we come together, we have unity, we have peace. And like Gail and Billy had said, it was so good. She talked about forgiveness, living in this place where you're forgiving. In other words, you're walking in this place of forgiveness. In other words, before anybody offends me, I've already forgiven you. Therefore, I'm not getting offended. I just walk in it. It's water off the back. Whenever we hurt one another, whenever we offend one another, whenever you are angry, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it immediately, right away, as soon as possible. If you have a problem with a brother or sister, don't wait. Don't put it off. If you're having a problem with your spouse, don't wait. Don't put it off. Deal with it quickly. Otherwise, you're giving place to the devil. And what happens is he begins to bury those seeds because you didn't deal with it when the Spirit was telling you to. And eventually you find yourself in your relationship with your love growing cold because there's things that are starting to pile up. Are you with me? Unresolved things that you just swept under the rug. And then the next thing you know, there's another thing that happens. And if you don't deal with that, it begins to pile up. And it begins to choke out your love. Not only with your spouse, but with one another. If we allow those seeds to continue, they will sprout up. Amen. A root of bitterness will spring up. And not only will it defile you, but it will defile the body of Christ. It will defile others. So we must live in forgiveness. We must walk in that place of humility with a willingness to humble ourselves when we offend someone. And sometimes if you don't even realize, maybe somebody's upset with you or you think they are, it's a good idea to ask, hey, did I say anything to upset you? Deal with it right away. You have no place to the devil. Let's maintain the harmony, amen, and the peace in the spirit. The devil wants to offend God's people, you know. I guess I'm the only one that's ever had to deal with offense, but okay. But do you understand what I'm saying? Deal with it quickly. Do with it as soon as possible. Sometimes you may need to pray a bit and ask God for a time and a location, a place, all that, but deal with it right away. We don't want anything, amen, to defile us or defile others. How many know that because we're a body, we're connected? If we don't deal with things on an individual basis, we can influence the body. And right now we have just, a group of people that are really united in spirit. There's love here. I think for the most part, we're walking in forgiveness. I pray that's true. And we're not carrying around the baggage of unforgiveness. We're learning how to let those things go. You need grace for that, don't you? I hear people say, well, I can't forgive. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ. He has the grace for you to forgive. Ask Him for it. Ask Him to give you love in your heart. That's why He said, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Start praying for them. How do you pray for them? The same way you pray for yourself, with the same love and the same passion. And you keep that stuff off of you. Get it off of you. Start loving them. They curse you, you bless them back. Do the opposite. Keep it off you. But if you wait and you tuck it away, we're going on our merry way and, you know, sometimes we don't even realize it, but others say, what happened to you? Something wrong with you. We recognize it in each other, don't we? It's really hard sometimes for us to judge ourselves. It's a little easier to judge someone else. We have trouble, don't we, sometimes? Taking an evaluation and saying, Lord, is my heart right with you? Is there something that I need to deal with? Because I don't want anything to come between us. And I don't want to allow anything in this temple that's going to defile it or defile others. And so if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. Some men's sins go beforehand to judgment. Others follow after. We deal with it now. We get it right now. Why? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where we can come before our Father and confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us. Hallelujah. And cleanse us. And so we are members one of another. And because we're family, when I bless you, when I build you, I'm helping myself too. Because we're connected. When I tear you down, I'm tearing myself down. Because we're connected. So we love. And Jesus says, by this shall all men know, you're my disciples. We have love one for another. When they come into these doors, amen, they can say, wow, these people really love each other. And it's not that fake stuff, you know, that you get some places. Welcome. Or the people that run around with those funny badges and the, yeah, and the plastic smiles. They need to be introduced to the real Jesus so that they'll know the real love of God and they don't have to fake it. It can be real. Christianity is not something you act like. That's hypocrisy. But it's who we become. We walk in our new identity, a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation tonight, are you? Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Anytime I allow the past or the things I used to do in the present, I'm living outside of my real identity, my new identity. So tonight we're going to take together of the Lord's Supper, and we're going to celebrate and remember what Jesus has done for us and the price that he paid for our redemption. And I want to say one more thing, and this is, I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone and their views and their theology, but I've got to say this. That the elements are symbolic. Jesus, prior to going to the cross, lifted up the bread, amen, and the wine. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Just as much as the Seder or the Passover was symbolic. It was a type. It was to show us Christ and what he's accomplished for us in our redemption. So we take it from the perspective of we're remembering Jesus in this. We're looking beyond the elements to the Lord. And we worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. That's what true worship is at. It's not in things. It's not in objects. It's not even the Lutherans who believe that Christ is beside and under the bread and upon. Christ in you is the hope of glory. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we worship the Lord in the Spirit. And we take of these things so that we are reminded of what the Lord has accomplished for us. Is this making sense? We talk about seeing Jesus. I see Jesus. Well, did you have a picture of Jesus? Did you have a vision? No, but I see Jesus. You've heard a message, you know, about Jesus, and you say, I see Jesus. You have an encounter with Jesus. Even though you didn't see him with these eyes, you saw him in your heart's eyes. You beheld him. And so in the Seder, they were to see Jesus. Are you with me? In the Spirit. As his broken, you know, body, as the bread represented his body, which was broken for us. And the cup, his shed blood. Marriage is a blood covenant. And we're married to Jesus. Would you bow your heads for a moment and ask the Lord if there's anything that you need to resolve right now, any unforgiveness, any grudge, something where an area in your life where you need to make restitution. Maybe you need to go to someone and settle something. Examine yourself first and then take. Ask the Lord if there's any unresolved sin issues. Areas of rebellion in my heart that I have been stubbornly refusing to repent in. And the Lord will reveal that too. And just take it to him right now and confess it. Just confess your sins. You have a great high priest in the heavens. Come to the Father through the Son. Confess to Jesus. He's your advocate at heaven's court. And when you confess it and you forsake it, then you are forgiven. receive the grace of God. Receive his forgiveness tonight. Accept what he's already accomplished for you. Forgiveness is freely given today, right now. It's free. Receive forgiveness as you confess. Receive forgiveness and thank the Lord for forgiveness. Go ahead and just agree with him in the spirit. Say, Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you for your blood that washes me, cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Father, my prayer tonight is that we would come together, truly come together in unity in the Spirit. Lord, that the walls of division would come down, the walls of denominationalism, the walls, Lord, that we have erected and set against one another in the body of Christ. Lord, beyond these walls, in your body throughout the earth, God, even, Lord, as you had prayed that we may be one. Father, we agree with that prayer right now that we may be one, that we would not, Lord, separate ourselves, that we will discern the body of Christ, that we will forgive those who trespass against us, that we will seek to maintain the bond of peace by abiding in you and obeying your voice and walk in forgiveness. Hallelujah.